state by state.
What's the plan?
Glenda, did I hear you're going to be on American Idol?
The Dusty Show.
Well, good evening, everybody. It's Clay Bidgett on The Dusty Show here in Wisconsin, USA. And I'm glad that you've taken the time to tune in tonight. I feel like I haven't talked to you for so long. I went away on a vacation over the Christmas holidays, back to southwest Iowa, back to the land where I was born and raised. I had such a nice time. I wanted to do a big vacation show based around that trip, but it really didn't happen. I guess when it came right down to it, I just wanted to relax and be with friends and family. But I did get a couple of interviews in, which I'll play for you tonight. And also, I did get to out in some of the thrift stores and bargain barns back there and dig up some old albums. And I'll also play some of that stuff for you.
No.
I'll start the show off tonight with the favorite son of my hometown of Audubon, Iowa. He is C.W. McCall.
Oh, hi.
Most famous for his big hit, Convoy.
Mercy sakes alive, looks like we've got us a convoy.
Back during the days of the Citizens Band radio craze. Here's C.W. McCall in a song named after my hometown. This is Audubon.
Well, I was born in a town called Audubon, southwest Iowa, right where it ought to been. 23 houses, 14 saloons, and a feed mill in 1930. Had a neon sign said Squealer Feeds, and the bus came through when they felt the need, and they stopped at a place there in town called the Old Home Cafe. So I was raised on Dust Bowl tunes, you see. I had a 6-tube radio, no TV. It was so doggone hot I had to wet the bed in the summer just to keep cool. Yeah, many's a night I'd lay awake, waiting for a distant station break, just a-settin' and a-wettin' and a-lettin' that radio fry. Well, I listened to Nashville and Tulsa and Dallas, and Oklahoma City gave my ear a callus, and I'll never forget them announcers at 3 a.m. They'd come on and say, friends, there's many a soul who needs us, so send them letters and cards to Jesus, that's J-E-S-U-S, friends, in care of Del Rio, Texas. But the place I remember on the edge of town was a place where you really got the hardcore sound. Yeah, a place where the truckers used to stop on the way to Des Moines. There was signs all over them window sales, like a devil don't get you, then Roosevelt will, and the bank don't sell no beer, and we don't cash no checks. Now them truckers never talked about nothing but hauling, and the four-letter words was really appalling. They thought them hometown gals was nothing but toys for their amusement. Drove Chevys and Macs with big old stacks. They always complained about their livers and backs, but they was fast-living, strung-out, truck-driving son-of-a-guns. Now the gal waiting tables was really classy, had a rebuilt motor on a fairly new chassis, and she knew how to handle them truckers. Name was Mavis Davis. Yeah, she'd pour them a coffee, then she'd bat her eyes, and then she'd listen to them tell her some big fat lies. Then she'd ask them how the wife and kids was back there in Joplin. Now Mavis had all of her ducks in a row, weighed 98 pounds, put on quite a show. Reminds you of a couple of Cub Scouts trying to set up a Sears Roebuck pup tent. There's no proposition that she couldn't handle. Next to her, there was nothing could hold the candle. Not a hell of a lot upstairs, but from there on down, Disneyland. Now the truckers, on the other hand, was really crass. They remind you of fingernails of scratching on glass, of stomping on in, leaving tracks all over the Montgomery Ward linoleum. Yeah, they'd pound them counters and kick them stools. They was always picking fights with the local fools. But one look at Mavis and they'd turn into a bunch of tomcats. Well, I'll never forget them days gone by. I was just a kid, about 4 foot high, but I never forgot that lesson in picking and singing the country way. Yeah, them walking, talking, truck stop blues came back to life in 72 as the old home filler up and keep on a trucking cafe.
Yeah, you bet. Have been for 14 years.
Audubon, Iowa. I say Audubon because I think that's how most people...
I think that's the way it's supposed to be.
Named after?
John James Audubon.
Famous...
naturalist?
We call him a bird.
Yeah, a bird man or a naturalist, yeah.
From the top of a tall tree, we hear the dry, chipping notes of the chippy sparrow. It is a very unmusical song, but the bird delivering it throws its head back as if it were singing an operatic aria.
Oh, boy.
And how old is Audubon?
It's 127 years old.
127.
And who were the first settlers?
Boy.
Boy.
Is it Captain Stewart and Nathaniel Hamlin and those?
Because Cap Stewart was a surveyor, appraiser, land acquisition man for the railroad. In fact, we don't have any railroad now, but we had, at one time, we had two railroads come through here.
River City, next station stop, River City, Iowa.
Cash for the merchandise, cash for the button hooks, cash for the cotton goods, cash for the hard goods, cash for the fancy goods, cash for the soft goods, cash for the noggins and the piggins and the frickins,
cash for the hogshead cask and demijohn, cash for the crackers and the pickles and the fly paper.
Look, what do you talk?
Where do you get it?
What do you talk?
You can talk, you can talk, you can bigger, you can talk, you can bigger, 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 you can talk, bigger, you can talk all you want, but it's different than it was.
No, it ain't, but you gotta know the territory.
Why, it's the Model T Ford made the trouble, made the people want to go, want to get up and go. 7, 8, 9, 10, 12, 14, 22, 23 miles to the county seat.
Yes, sir, yes, sir.
Who's going to patronize a little bitty 2x4 kind of store anymore?
What do you talk?
Where do you get it?
Gone
with the hogshead cask and demijohn. Gone with the sugar barrel, pickle barrel, milk pan. Gone with the tub and the pail and the tears.
Ever meet a fella by the name of Hill?
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 No!
Just a minute!
Hi, Maggie.
Hi.
How are you?
Fine.
Come closer to me.
Fine.
And we're at my mom's coffee group in my little hometown in Iowa, and I've been talking to you. You're a very interesting woman.
Oh, you think so?
How long have you lived in this town?
44 years.
44 years. Where else did you live?
We lived north of Audubon for a while, and I used to live in Kimmelton.
But you've always lived in this county.
Yes, in Audubon County, yes.
Did you ever want to go away somewhere?
Yeah, sometimes when I get in the car, I like to just see how far the gas tank will take me.
Do you do that? Do you get in and just drive?
Would like to.
That's your dream?
Yeah, to see how far I could drive on a tank of gas.
Where would you go? Where do you picture yourself? Anywhere?
Just anywhere.
Do you like the back roads? Because I'm thinking we ought to just take off.
Hey, that'd be a good idea.
That's my dream. You don't like those interstates?
No.
Where do you like to go? You like to get back on the back road?
Yeah, I do.
Picking up the pieces of my sweet shattered dream. I wonder how the old folks are tonight. Her name was Anne, and I'll be damned if I recall her face. She left me not knowing what to do. Carefree highway, let me slip away on you. Carefree highway, you've seen better days. The morning after blues, from my head down to my shoes. Carefree highway, let me slip away on you. Let me slip away on you. Every highway, I got to see you, my old friend. Every highway, you've seen better days. The morning after blue, from my head down to my shoe. Every highway,
slip away on you.
What is the current population of this town?
Approximately 2,550 people. Approximately.
2,550. What was the population of this town at its peak?
I think about 31, 32 maybe.
And when would that have been?
Well, when I was a boy, probably around the 40s or early 50s.
And that's what you would call, was that what you would call the heyday of,
oh, yeah,
of Audubon?
Oh, yeah. The farm economy was good. You know, we had farmers on land as small as 40 acres, and the large ones would be 250 acres. Now I've got three son-in-laws that farm, and one guy farms over 10,000, another one about 8, and another one about 6, you know. So
massive farms.
Massive farms, yeah.
Are a lot of them owned by corporations these days?
Not really. They're original ownership, a lot of them, but these guys are too old to do it themselves now, so they rent it out, you know.
And their sons didn't want to stick around, a lot of them.
Yeah, right. Yeah, they talked their kid into going to college, and of course they don't want to come back and farm when they're making money like a doctor or lawyer, you know. So they might come back and buy another farm, but they rent that out too, you know.
From Mom and me and all the folks at home, we thought we'd send some photographs along. We're fine, and hope this note finds you the same as when you last were here. My God, and it's been a year.
So this was a town whose livelihood, a lot of it anyway, was based upon farmers coming in and buying things?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
When did that go south?
I would say...
Can you pinpoint it?
Well, around 1980.
Can you blame it on a specific president?
Oh, I'd love to.
That's always a debate, you know.
Yeah, it is.
And I'll be honest with you. I would say the listenership of this station is fairly liberal.
Yeah.
But... You know, and honestly, what happened? Where did it go bad?
Well,
bank loans or...
Yeah, the bankers are involved in it, yes. They don't like to fool around with the guy that's got 80 acres of ground anymore. They want the guy that's got the 10,000 acres. You make one deal with him, you know he's going to have a heck of a crop, you know, and he's going to have the money there for you. And...
So how did they go out of business?
Let me take this one, Jake. We just added the Sac City, Iowa plant with 2,800 acres of production. We have 1,350 acres at Ames. At Springfield, Minnesota, we have 1,000 acres. Here at Olivia, we have 4,200 acres in production and the largest seed corn plant in the state of Minnesota. I might also add that with a tremendous building expansion going on at Sac City now, I believe we have a seed corn processing plant as large as any in Iowa.
Thank you. Now, here's how you may win Trojan's free prize drawing. The cover of Successful Farming's September issue bears a sticker with your name and address. Clip this sticker and mail to Trojan Seed Company, Olivia, Minnesota. Prize drawing details will be sent to you by return mail.
Okay!
So how did they go out of business?
Well, a lot of them... unfortunately.
Was it during the Carter years, the Reagan years?
I think it was the early Reagan years, personally, but because when Carter was in there, we had some absorbent grain prices, you know. $14 a bushel for soybeans, you know, that's just unheard of now. And I can't remember what corn was at that time, but
And he was a farmer.
Yeah, you bet. He's a peanut farmer.
Jimmy?
Yeah, Sugar?
Do you love me?
According to the Gallup poll, I do.
But Reagan got in there, and I really don't know what went on.
All right, you're the governor of California. There would be several ways to answer that. You were a movie actor, weren't you? As you look back on it, what was the result of your career?
The Depression.
They started subsidizing the farmers so bad. And the bigger acreage you had, the more money you got from the government, you know. So naturally, it was a win-win deal for... And at that time, I would say that the farmers were all pretty much Democrats. Now you'd be surprised how many of them were Republicans.
What made them turn?
Well, because they're getting all this free money.
Because they have money?
Yeah, you bet. You got money, you can afford to be a Republican.
By the way, that index also closed at a 4.5-year high.
Here's Rex Allen on The Dusty Show with Melody of the Plains.
All my life I've been a-riding in the roundup. Punching cattle's been my life till today. But the roundup is over, and from now on I'm on my way. I'm just drifting down the trail to the sunset. I'm just following the sun and the rain. All I know is that honky-tonk melody of the plains. That's the song I keep singing, that's the tune that keeps bringing me the courage to travel along. Through the sagebrush I'm riding, by the clouds I'm a-guiding, all I need is the plains and my song. All my pals are heading westward to the Rockies, but to me the plains are calling to stay. All I know is that honky-tonk melody of the plains.
Dusty!
Yes, Colonel Carl?
What you got on the farm report?
Some kind of hometown special.
Jesus!
All my pals are heading westward to the Rockies, but to me the plains are calling to stay. All I know is that haunting melody.
Are you afraid to fly?
I flew once to Washington. I've had my airplane ride.
Really? What scared you about it?
Nothing. And just far, far. It's far down there.
Did you think?
When you're up there, it's way down there.
Did you think about that where you were flying?
Yeah.
I'm in a little tube up in the air, 30,000 feet above the ground. What if these engines go
off? A long time ago when I was in the hospital, I was in a room with two Catholic ladies, and they gave me a crucifix, and I hung on to the crucifix all the way and all the way back.
Did you have it in your hand?
Yes, I did.
God had created a good world. Man had created sin. And Adam's disobedience was to be repeated by his descendants. man would often choose something else instead of God. The writers of the Bible, like most of us, knew more about sin than they really wanted to know. They knew how man had turned against God and how man had turned against his fellow man. In the story of Cain and Abel, they tell how one son of Adam turned against his blood brother. It is a story which, unfortunately, has never grown old. In the barren and rocky land to which they had been banished, Adam and Eve built a primitive house, part cave, part lean-to, in which the first child was born, in pain, as the Lord had promised.
I have made a man from the Lord God.
Thy name shall be called Cain.
Eve again bore a son, and his name was Abel. And the children of Eve grew to be men. Cain was a tiller of the ground. Abel was a keeper of sheep. And Abel brought the fattest of his young lambs as an offering unto the Lord. And Cain also brought an offering unto the Lord of grain and fruit. The Lord was pleased with Abel and his offering, but with Cain and his offering he was not content. Cain's face twisted in rage.
Why art thou angry? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted?
Cain made no answer, but later when they were in the fields together, he struck Abel in his great anger and killed him. And God said to Cain,
Where is Abel, thy brother?
I know not!
Where is Abel?
Am I my brother's keeper?
What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. Now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth.
And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and lived in the land of Nod on the east of Eden.
I knew when I saw that one in the thrift store when I was on my Christmas vacation, I had to pick it up. From 1966, Art Linkletter narrates Dino De Laurentiis' production of the Bible. That was the story of Cain and Abel, and it's interesting as you listen to it, you hear phrases from everyday life like, am I my brother's keeper? And I heard East of Eden, I think that was a James Dean movie, wasn't it? And the land of Nod and so many things that you recognize. I love rummaging for old albums. It really is kind of an addiction. We heard the Rex Allen before, Melodies of the Plains, and the Trojan Seed Company Flexi Disc, inviting you to win a 1965 Ford Mustang. I love the Flexi Discs. Can you hear it?
No.
And some other things I picked up, the 44th Street Portable Flower Factory from 1970 from Scholastic Magazine. It's kind of scratchy, unfortunately.
The continent of Atlantis was an island which lay before the Great Flood in the area we now call the Atlantic Ocean. So great an area of land that from her western shores, those beautiful sailors journeyed to the South and the North Americas with ease.
And I had to have this basic German training record, didn't I?
Yes.
Band one.
Ah.
Discrimination.
Gabe. Gabe. Gabe.
Band five.
Ooh.
Discrimination.
Do. Do. Do.
Oh, boy.
And I got a few others here. Maybe I'll get to them tonight during the show. I hope I have time. Another one I got was the International Morse Code Instruction Course album. 10 lessons with a booklet included. And if you learn a little bit, this is how WFMU sounds like in Morse code. rummaging through an old box at Chuck's Bargain Barn, and I found this one from Los Felinos, 1973, by Yayo.
Se habla español, amigo Colonel Carlito.
Democrat mayor, what would you say, what is the political makeup of this town?
It's pretty much 50-50, I'd say.
Who carried the town in the last major presidential election, Bush or Kerry, would you say?
Well, it was really close, and I can't remember. I wouldn't be surprised if it was Kerry by a few votes. But we have so many independents now, you know. People have gotten tired of labels, and so they like the independent thing, and then they don't hear from either party, you know.
I've noticed, maybe I'm wrong, but in a small town like this, people are a little more reticent to say what they are. Is that possible?
Yeah,
are the repercussions more?
I know people that I've known for, I've lived here all my 70 years, and I know people that I've known all that time that I don't have any idea whether they're Republican. In fact, I do a little political work, and when I get those lists that tell what people are, it just blows my mind. You know, people that I thought were Democrat all my life, because they acted friendly to me.
And I don't know if I've mentioned this yet. Did I mention you're also the town barber?
No, you didn't mention.
The mayor is also... You're, in fact, Sam, I think you might be the only business left from when I was graduated in 76. You are the one constant in this little town, Sam's Barbershop. You cut my hair when I was...
Absolutely. When you were a baby.
I bet you gave me my very first haircut.
What year were you born?
58.
Oh, yeah. I gave you your first haircut. I'd bet money on it.
How long has this shop been in existence?
Oh, this shop's been here since the 30s. And I've owned it for the last 48 years.
Aw.
Bringing home the roses. The Hawkeyes love the roses. When we leave home,
we've got the Rose Bowl fever,
heading for Pasadena, singing it loud, singing it proud. We're from Iowa, but you can't tell, we're gonna give them, well, we're California bound. New Year's Day, we're gonna celebrate, we're gonna put them Huskies down.
You love Iowa?
Making this whole bloody thing into more than it is, actually. I mean, really?
You love Iowa?
Yeah.
What do you love about Iowa? What keeps you here?
Oh, getting old now, but...
You're not that old.
The seasons. The seasons. Yes, the changing of the seasons.
Which one's your favorite?
Which one's my favorite? It used to be spring.
It is a beautiful mid-May morning in the country, and the birds are in full song. Let's take a stroll into the fields and woods and enjoy the sounds of spring.
No.
But we don't have nice springs like we used to, so we've been having nicer falls than what we had.
Do you think the weather's changing?
Yes.
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 What's causing it?
Too much factory and too many cars.
You see where I'm going with this.
I know. Okay, now.
Global warming, do you believe in it?
Yes. Yes, there is global warming because the oceans are rising, you know, way down in the islands.
Because the Antarctic is melting.
Yes.
That makes the ocean levels rise.
Yes.
Look! The ice is beginning to crack!
The ice is too thin out here.
I'm falling through!
Oh, me too!
I was sad to hear about the death of Barry Cowsill, another victim of Hurricane Katrina. We'll send this one out in his memory tonight. These are the Cowsills with hair.
And so, ladies and gentlemen, would you welcome from Newport, Rhode Island, the Cowsills.
Give me a head with hair, long, beautiful hair, shining, gleaming, streaming, flaxen, waxing. Give me down to there, shoulder length longer.
Here, baby, there, mama, everywhere now.
Short.
How long have you been a barber?
52.
52 years.
Yeah.
Has it been good to you? Do you like it?
I've just loved every minute of it. It's
How old are you now, Sam?
70.
70. Ah, you're pretty young.
Yeah. When I thought about going to barber school, I asked this old barber that cut my hair. I said, is barbering a good business or what? Am I barking up the wrong tree or what? He said, well, you never get rich, but you'll always have a good income, you know. And it's very true.
Do you think people tell their barbers things they don't tell anyone else?
I've never said this before, but I may as well tell you now.
Yeah, I think they do. I've known a lot of secrets on a lot of people.
Do you really?
And a lot of them are dead, of course, now, so it's no problem. But, I've known a lot of pretty deep, dark secrets.
How can there be any sin in sincere? Where is the good in good?
It's a great part of Americana, though, isn't it, the barbershop?
It is, yeah.
Now, I notice you have an actual barber's pole. I was watching a television show not long ago that said there's only one place in the United States that makes those anymore.
It's the Marvell Company in Minneapolis makes them, and they are, I think they're the only company.
Is yours an authentic? It looks like
yes,
a real.
It is.
Now, tell me, the barber pole has red, white, and blue stripes.
Right.
There's a story in there, isn't it? Something about bandages?
In Bible times, the barbers were bloodletters. And you could always tell them where the barber was by the bandages hanging outside his tent. Where they wrapped them around his arm, they'd be red and then white and red and then white and then red and white. And later on, they added the blue stripe to signify purity, I think that's the story.
So all you barbers are pure.
Very pure people, you know. We wouldn't. we'll just not go any further with that.
It's so nice to talk to my old friends back in my hometown, and nice to hear from you as well when I got home, with all your nice emails over the holidays from folks like Eric, Timbo, Wiki, Hooch, Mr. O'Brien, James, Roxanne, Slice, Lee, Dennis, the Hazeltons, Caleb, and Travis, all checking in with the emails. You can email me, and I wish you would. I'd love to hear from you.
Okay.
Dusty@WFMU.org. That's Dusty@WFMU.org. And if you'd like to call to leave a message about anything that's on your mind, something we can play on a future episode, call the Dusty Show answering machine. Here's that number. 201-521-1375. That's 201-521-1375.
You know, a very interesting show. It's a very unique show, the first time we've heard it. How about playing anything from Crowded House? To me, they were the unknown Beatles in many respects, so I would really value hearing Crowded House on the radio, and I really dig your station. I really dig the sounds that I'm hearing tonight. So my name is Philip, and I'd like to hear that. Good night, guys.
But that list you requested, Crowded House, Colonel Carl.
Me. But it's not farm music, Dusty.
Put it back on, Colonel Carl.
Me, my Jesus.
Hey now, hey. I'm doing
You know, Colonel Carl, I started thinking about that Roger Miller.
Sounds good, don't it, Dusty?
Play it, Colonel Carl.
Chug-a-lug, chug-a-lug. Make you wanna holler, holly-ho. Burns your tummy, don't you know? Chug-a-lug, chug-a-lug. Grape wine in a mason jar. Homemade and brought to school by a friend of mine after class. Me and him and this other fool decide that we'll drink up what's left. Chug-a-lug, so help thyself. First time for everything, my ears still ring. Chug-a-lug, chug-a-lug. Make you wanna holler, holly-ho. Burns your tummy, don't you know? Chug-a-lug, chug-a-lug, 4-H and a FFA. On a field trip to the farm, me and a friend sneak off behind this big old barn where we uncovered a covered-up moonshine still. And we thought we'd drink our fill, and I swallowed it with a smile. I run 10 miles, chug-a-lug, chug-a-lug. Make you wanna holler, holly-ho. Burns your tummy, don't you know? Chug-a-lug, chug-a-lug, jukebox and sawdust floor. Something like I ain't never seen. Heck, I'm just going on 15. But with the help of my finagling uncle, I get snuck in. For my first taste of sin, I said, let me have a big old sip. Right on a double backflip. Chug-a-lug, chug-a-lug. Make you wanna holler, holly-ho. Burns your tummy, don't you know? Chug-a-lug, chug-a-lug.
When were you born? Let me ask you. I know that's, I shouldn't ask you that.
1934.
Mr. Roosevelt has had his way. He's one man that can't blame any of his troubles on Huey Long. He's had his way. Back down in my part of the country, if any man has the measles, he blames that on me. But there's one man that can't blame anything on anybody but himself, and that's Mr. Frank Rondello Roosevelt.
Do you remember the first time you ever saw a television? When was that? When were the first? When did the first TVs come out?
It had,
you guys,
to be
remember?
53.
Was it pretty amazing? Were you like excited by it?
Yeah.
What's the first thing you saw? Was it like Milton Berle or something?
I can't remember. My sister-in-law had to go out and do chores, and Dale, when he was little, we sat and watched the old westerns.
Yeah.
Wyatt Earp.
Gathering eggs.
Gathering. See, people in New York City, they don't know what the chores were for a farmer. What did you had to gather eggs?
Yeah, you had to go in the chicken house and gather eggs, and you could feel lice all over you.
Lice? Really?
I mean, you could feel them. I don't know if you had it, but you
did
could just feel
them. Did they get in your hair and stuff?
No, but you could just feel it.
Get off me!
I used to put kerosene on my arms before I went in the chicken house.
I did.
Really?
You put kerosene to keep the lice off?
Yeah.
At the edge of the meadow, the more musical song of the field sparrow.
The sparrows would come in and...
Yeah.
Yes.
The birds.
The sparrows would come get in the chicken house and build nests, and that's the what would bring the lice.
So when they talk about this bird flu, you can understand how it spreads, huh?
Yeah.
Chicken.
Pollo.
I want bushels and bushels of kisses, but I just get a peck from you. I want acres and acres of loving, and not just a speck or two. You're just like a miser holding on to his gold. You must get wiser, better give some away before you're too old. What a heck of a love affair this is, when you act the way you do. I want bushels and bushels of kisses, but I'm just a wreck. I've been keeping check. I just get a peck from you.
Fiction. Barbers have to shave a balloon.
Myth.
Where does that go? Do you know what I'm talking
about? Yes, I do. I do. And the very first guy, the very first shave I ever did, I did on an old stew bum from Skid Row.
God bless the president.
All right, Fred. I know we
God
all
God bless the president.
All right. All right.
Now, a shave, is that something that's gone by the wayside pretty much?
Yeah, well, the AIDS virus, you know.
Oh, really?
Kind of took care of that. It was on the...
In what way? Barbers refused to do it, or...?
Yeah, you know, it's hard to shave somebody and not nick them.
Oh, my God, I don't know what to buy.
So really, that had a lot to do with it, huh?
Yeah,
and then the razors have improved.
If a guy got AIDS, he'd say, hey... The barber cut me, you know.
Now, I remember sometime, and I'm guessing it was in the 70s. Men started going to beauty shops.
Yes.
Oh, hi.
Did it hurt your business?
Oh, absolutely. At the time that all started, I had 3 chairs in here. And we were all, you know, all kept pretty busy. And within 2 years, I had completely gotten rid of 1 chair. And within 5 years, I was going alone. Part of it was the beauty operators did not have any training in cutting men's hair at all.
Is it different men's hair?
Well, it's just shorter. No, genetically it's probably the same, but it's, you know, the shorter styles. This is why the men are coming out of the beauty shops now, is because the women won't cut it short enough for them.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Then the 80s came along, and all the old... I remember I decided to get a flat top.
All I need is what you've got.
That's an art, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. That's how I built my business.
Do you give a good flat top?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'd like to say that you can't drink much and give a good flat top, but I proved that wrong.
Is that a challenging haircut?
It is, yeah.
Is it still asking?
It drove a lot of old guys nuts, you know. They just hated, Harry Phillips hated to do them.
Did he?
Just, if you come in and said you wanted a flat top, he'd say, wait for Sam.
Did he?
Yeah.
Did he?
Yeah.
Did he?
Yeah.
Did he?
Yes.
The noisemakers and happy little hats, along with the celebrations, singing of Auld Lang Syne, and all of that, comes this wish for a very rewarding and happy new year from Faye Pharmacy in Anita. They've enjoyed serving you throughout this past year and look forward to your continued business during the new year.
I milked a cow once, but I didn't do it right, so I didn't have to do it again.
Did you milk cows?
No. What did you do wrong? I couldn't do it either. I tried.
I think I just did the two tits, and that was it. They were like this, but you went this way.
But well, we're on the radio now, so explain what you're... They can't see what like this means. If you did milk those cows in the winter, did they know if your hands were cold?
I don't know.
Were they cold?
We knew the teats were cold.
Were they cold?
Yeah.
So they wouldn't let me milk anymore.
No, because you didn't do a good job, and you have to get all the milk out.
Were you good milking cows?
Yes.
Yeah. Audrey's looking at me like you put this on the radio. Now she's like, I have to go.
I really do. Have
Where are you going?
I'm going home. It's 11 o'clock.
Well, I enjoyed talking to you.
Well, thank
and you.
And
you, Audrey.
Thank you.
What do you want to say to everyone in New York?
Oh, have a happy New Year. And good health to everybody and peace to the world.
Now, you have a pretty good... head of hair.
Yeah, I've got a good head of hair.
But a lot of men don't. Do you ever have to tell them to cut out the comb over? Do they still try to do that?
I don't try to tell anybody how to wear their hair, but if they say, I'm getting tired of this comb over thing, let's just cut it, off. I never argue with them. But I understand why they're doing it.
Did that dang Flo-bee about run you out of business here?
I've never seen a Flo-bee.
Yeah, but you...
I never have.
I looked on the internet the other day, and they still have those things.
Is that right? They're still advertising?
The Flo-bee.
Yeah.
You might have a customer here.
Yeah.
Oh, looks like you got a haircut to do.
You bet.
All right. What do you want to say to everybody out there?
Well, just vote Democrat, and we'll see you next time.
I love old 45s that are on small-town labels like Shoe Records out of Norfolk, Nebraska. I found this when I was back home over the holidays. Bright pink label with a white go-go boot on it. And I looked up Shoe Records in Google and found that a band of some notoriety called The Smoke Ring, also from Norfolk, did a record on Shoe back in the late 60s.
Aww.
But I couldn't find anything about this artist. This is John L. Sullivan with Tear Time on The Dusty Show.
It's that time again.
Tear time.
Crying time again.
Start
as the hurt begins
without warning.
Days my eyes stay dry.
Sometimes
I forget, but why?
Night
brings new tears to cry.
Until morning,
all it takes is the smallest thought of you, then tear time stops.
got home from my trip, I was kind of depressed.
Put a rubber band around your head and snap out of it, honey.
In order to cheer myself up, I paid $1 for this album. That was my fix, my drug of choice, and I needed this album, Quick Draw McGraw, and this song is... This is one of the best songs ever.
Oh, really?
It's called El Kabong.
Of all of the stories I know of the West, the one that I tell is the one I like best. About such a hero, a writer of wrong, the one and only El Kabong. El Kabong! El Kabong! His daring was known from both near and afar. The weapon he used was his trusty guitar. The bad man was hit on the head with a brong, and so they called him El Kabong. El Kabong! El Kabong!
This sounds funny.
Shut up, Dusty!
But I like when he says El Kabong. Don't you like when he says El Kabong?
The stagecoach was stopped by a bandit so bold. Without saying please, he demanded the gold. Then quick, like a flash, came a mighty cabron. He was hit by El Kabong. El Kabong! El Kabong! Here he comes now!
A villain foreclosed on an old widow's home. He put her outside in the cold all alone. Then bam, on his head came a big loud kabrong. That guitar righted one more wrong.
El Kabong! El Kabong!
I need a fork.
Me falta el tenedor.
The jailhouse is full, every bandit inside has lumps on his head that his hat cannot hide. The hero, of course, is that writer of wrong, the one and only El Kabong. El Kabong! El Kabong! El Kabong! El Kabong! El Kabong!
Well, that's it for another episode of The Dusty Show, everybody. Thank you for listening. Thanks to Sam and Maggie and everyone back in my hometown. To Philip for his phone call and Jay for his email. Stick around, Mike is next. I'll catch you next Monday evening. Until then, take care. And always remember...